1 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 27, these are God's words. Now, King David was old, advanced in years, and they put covers on him, but he could not get warm. Therefore, his servant said to him, "Let a young woman, a virgin, be sought for our lord the king, and let her stand before the Lord, before the king, and let her care for him, and let her lie in your bosom, that our lord the king may be warm." So they sought for a lovely young woman throughout all the territory of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The young woman was very lovely, and she cared for the king, and she served him, but the king did not know her. Then Adonijah, son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, "Why have you done so?" He was also very good looking. His mother had borne him after Absalom. Then he conferred with Joab, son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they followed and helped Adonijah. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fattened cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by En-Rogel. He also invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the mighty man, or Solomon his brother. So Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, "Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David our lord does not know it? Come, please, let me now give you advice, that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Go immediately to King David and say to him, 'Did you not, my lord, O king, swear to your maidservant, saying, assuredly your son Solomon shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? Then while you are still talking there with the king, I also will come in after you and confirm your words.'" So Bathsheba went into the chamber to the king. Now the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was serving the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did homage to the king, and the king said, "What is your wish?" And she said to him, "My lord, you swore by Yahweh your God to your maidservant, saying, 'Assuredly Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne.' So now look, Adonijah has become king. And now, my lord the king, you do not know about it. He has sacrificed oxen and fattened cattle and sheep in abundance. And he has invited all the sons of the king, Abiathar the priest and Joab the commander of the army. But Solomon your servant he has not invited. And as for you, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are on you, that you should tell them who will sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it will happen when my lord the king rests with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon will be counted as offenders." And just then, while she was still talking with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. So they told the king, saying, "Here is Nathan the prophet." And when he came in before the king, he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, "My lord, O king, have you said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fattened cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abiathar the priest. And look, they are eating and drinking before him And they say, long live King Adoniah. But he has not invited me, your servant, nor Zadok the priest, nor Benaiah son of Jehoiada, nor your servant Solomon. Has this thing been done by my lord the king, and you have not told your servant who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So coming out of 1 and 2 Samuel, we learned especially in 1 Samuel that David was the man after God's own heart, that although the people had wickedly desired a king other than God, God would provide for them a king according to his own wisdom, and a king who would rule and reign according to God's own mind, God's own heart. And David was a fulfillment of that initially. But we know from the rest of the story that this is about how God himself would become not only the Son of God, but also the Son of David. Jesus, the Son of David, according to the flesh, would be declared by his resurrection from the dead, the Son of God with power. And then in 2 Samuel, there was the promise of the forever king who had come from David's line, and the promise of the temple, which would be built by Solomon, and Solomon being the one through whom the Christ would come, through whom the temple would come. And so King David is the one through whom God's reign over his people and God's Christ would come. But we have a problem in 1 Kings 1, verses 1 through 27. David is old, and David is cold, and David is in great decline, can't even keep himself warm. He has not been a good king. He's not in charge. All sorts of things are happening with even Joab and Abiathar and many of the king's sons, all of the king's sons but one. And David doesn't even seem to know what is going on. He's just shivering in bed. They get him basically a nursing home nurse is kind of how Abishag functions with him. And when she lies and snuggles up to him, it's not at all as a wife, it's as a hot water bottle who has been assigned to the service of the king. So the kingdom is very weak, and the king is very weak. And this is a problem, because not only is the kingdom itself very weak, but the enemies of the kingdom are strong. Adoniah, or Adonijah, as I started out reading, and as you'll hear most people say, means my Lord is Yahweh, or Yahweh is my master. Problem is, sometimes, often, people have a name superficially, but they do not have the reality. Yahweh may have been Adonijah's master by name, but Absalom was Adonijah's template. The good-looking guy. The guy who gathers for himself chariots and horsemen and has 50 men run in front of him. The guy who has the hearts of the people and a plan by which to consolidate the government under himself. He even employs Abiathar and Joab, who had been on David's side during the whole Absalom incident, and he gathers them under himself. And in verse 6, when it says, she had borne him after Absalom, with reference to his mother, and it's not just after Absalom in time, but after the example of Absalom, in the mold of Absalom. So David is old, and David is cold, and Adonijah is in the mold of King Absalom. And he declares himself King Adonijah. So the kingdom is weak, its enemies are strong, and everything seems to be hanging by a thread. The forever king, the promise of the Christ, the promise of the temple, and all that which would look forward to and be one of the means by which eventually the Lord would come into the world to save us. So when Nathan comes and he says, Bathsheba, your life is in danger. And Solomon, your son's life is in danger. The text is telling us that our eternal life is in danger. It's under threat by the fact that Adonijah is sitting, as it were, on the throne. And people are not saying, long live King Solomon. They're saying, long live King Adonijah. And yet, whenever the kingdom hangs by a thread, it is not ultimately in danger of being destroyed, or not coming, or not succeeding. Because that thread is the will of God, which he accomplishes by the word of God. And so Nathan the prophet, the servant of God, whose primary role is to have in his mouth God's word, comes. And he is, as it were, the embodiment of the word of God by which he preserves his people. He is the one, remember, whom the Lord had sent to David, saying that he would build David a house, and that David wouldn't get to build the temple, but his son would, and that he would have a son who is a forever king. He was the one whom the Lord had sent to David when the kingdom was threatened, not by David's weakness, but by David's wickedness, with Bathsheba and the adultery, and Uriah and the murder. And Nathan was the one whom the Lord sent, saying, you are the man. And Nathan comes now, and he is used of God to awaken this cold and weak king to his duty. And he and Bathsheba come up with a plan, and they carry out the plan. So the kingdom is weak, the enemies are strong, but God's word intervenes, because God's will cannot be broken. Now this is a very encouraging passage for us, because we are in an age in which the church is weak. At least in our land and in our day, the church is weak. It very little holds to the word of God. There are believers that the Lord is saving. Even yesterday, I sat down with a young man who's been in a bunch of churches and just presented him basic biblical things about who Christ is and what Christ has done and what it means to walk with him. And he was so excited to put all of these things together, even though he'd been in churches where they talk about God becoming a man and dying for our sins and rising again from the dead. And yet he had had so little exposure to the reality of knowing and walking with the living Christ in his life. And it's just so excited. The church is weak, even though there be many of them, and even though they have something of the appearance of the gospel. We live in an age in which the church is old and the church is cold, and the enemies of God are in the mold of Absalom and Adonijah. They are organized, and they are clever, and they are beautiful, and they win the people's hearts. And it seems in many places like the kingdom of God is hanging by a thread. But that thread is still the will of God as carried out by the word of God. And we see that it cannot be broken. That the Lord Jesus is building his church. Because it is not David on the throne of glory. It is the resurrected and ascended and reigning Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, he is old, but he is the Ancient of Days. And his strength and his knowledge and his wisdom and his ability are not waning, but he is Almighty God and now all-powerful and authoritative man, the God-man who sits and reigns on the throne of glory. And he is not cold, and he sees, and he knows, and he acts, and he is with us always. And he takes all things that are done to his true church as done to him. And he works in all things and upholds all things by the word of his power. So what we see to be true to some extent in 1 Kings 1 through 27, we know to be true to a perfect extent, even now in the Lord Jesus sitting and reigning. Let appearances be what they may, we know what the reality is. His kingdom cannot fail. It shall last forever. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you did through Nathan, stirring David back up to his duty. Thank you for ordaining that your kingdom in this period that we've just read about would come under threat, so that when we live in a time in which your kingdom is under threat, we might have unshakable confidence in you. For your kingdom cannot be shaken, though heaven and earth be shaken. Help us by your word, as you shake heaven and earth, preserve us for that kingdom, which will be unshakable. We pray that you would revive your church, that you would pour out your spirit, that you would cause your word to go forth with power, and that we might see your enemies brought low and your kingdom reasserted. Your church is healthy, your gospel proclaimed, repentance and remission of sins coming to many. As this is preached in Jesus' name throughout all the earth, even as it began to be so at Jerusalem. And we pray that you would help us, O God, to have the courage of a Bathsheba or of a Nathan, who with confidence in you are willing to fulfill whatever role you have assigned us by your word and by your providence, by faith in Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask it. Amen.